In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The question Jesus asks to Martha could be asked to us. Do you believe this? Do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? That those who come to him, believe in him, will never die. By the way most Catholics are today, it's easy to see, because actions speak louder than words, that most Catholics don't believe this is true. All you have to do is watch how Catholics reacted during the COVID farce, the so-called pandemic, and how fearful so many of them were of getting sick, which meant they were afraid of dying. No faithful Catholic is afraid of dying, because every Catholic knows that death is a necessary consequence for sin, and it is unavoidable. You see, the difficulty for modern man is that life is so good, especially in the Western world, and so materialistic that people have no real wants. And because they have no real wants, with regards to, say, true need, everything they do possess is something they pursue out of sentimentality, out of a desire to pursue material prosperity. And therefore, they don't want to leave it. And if you don't want to leave it behind, that means the idea of death is frightful to the faithless. Look at your average Catholic funeral. Most Catholics go to a funeral to worship the person that died. And they often get upset. It's happened to me many times as a pastor, because I don't play that game at funerals. The people complain because all the priest spoke about was Jesus and not about the dead person. You know, when our Lord would go to these situations where someone had died, there were professional mourners. It was a cultural thing. And so the mourners would gather around the person that was dead, and they would wail. And then they would stop and take a break till new people came by, and then they would do the wailing again. And this is why every time, except for this situation, because he wasn't in the house where the dead person had died. In the other cases, he was, but he went to the tomb. When he raised people from the dead, right after they died, the first thing our Lord did was put the mourners out. He would put the mourners out. Because the mourners are all about death. They're all about the sentimentality of death. And too many Catholics are like that. They like feeling. Their lives are so much about emotions. They like feeling the sense of tragedy. They like feeling the sense of mourning. They feel more alive because they become slaves. Their souls have become slaves to their bodies. And so they live for emotional experiences. They live for high times. And yes, they even live for terrible, chaotic situations. That's why people who have embraced sentimentality will always embrace sin. And they have lives of pure chaos that people of virtue can't understand why they live that way. But people who are stuck in vice, it's just another emotional high they're on. They like being angry. They like creating a difficult situation. They like all the attention, because they need the rise. There's nothing going on in their soul. They're effectively dead in spirit, but alive in body. But unfortunately, too many Catholics are like that now. Dead in spirit, but alive in body. And that's why they're afraid of death. And they even want to deny it's going to happen. People who are older than me, who will dye their hair because they don't want to appear old. Or the worst thing, you know, there's nothing God hates more, as the wisdom books tell us, than an old man who is a fool. But you'll see old men in the summer dressed like teenage boys. Shorts and baseball caps and t-shirts. Because they don't want to be old. And the whole notion of, you'll say, well, they're just being comfortable. That's true. But that would also mean that that's about the feeling of being comfortable and not about self-respect. So therefore, we're back to emotions. We're back to sentimentality, aren't we? Once your soul has lost, and it already did after the fall from grace, but once your soul has lost after baptism, its dominance over the body, which is only possible by the grace of God, it is impossible to do it without God's grace. It's impossible to get control of your body again. And so most Catholics who don't believe in the necessity of grace, most Catholics are Neo-Pelagian. They believe they're good enough for heaven and they don't need any grace to help them get there. Therefore, they're not interested in grace, and grace lies dormant unless you use it. Hence, it manifests itself at Catholic funerals, because all they want to do is worship the dead. All they want to do is speak about the dead person. No acknowledgement of Christ's victory over death. And especially no acknowledgement of the fact that all of us must die as a consequence of sin. When God created Adam and Eve, they were going to be immortal in the Garden of Eden. No disease, no sickness. Once they age to the perfect mature age, they would age no longer. They are the ones who put themselves willingly under the dominion of the devil, and the wages of sin is death. And therefore death enters the human experience. Our Lord died on the cross. Our Lady had the great dormition, and she was the Immaculate Conception, so she didn't know real death. Death, by definition, is the separation of body and soul. So she went into the great dormition, which appeared to be death, but her soul never left. That's why her body and soul were assumed into heaven by God after the tomb was closed. But if Our Lady has to pay tribute to death, and Our Lord Himself died on the cross, how is it that Catholics believe they're never going to die? And that's the only way, by the way, you could live in continuous sin, is if you believe you're never going to die. It's the only way you would never have a life of prayer, because you believe you're never going to die. You can always start that prayer, that life of prayer tomorrow. You can always start converting tomorrow. You can always go to confession tomorrow. Their belief is they are going to live forever. And there are people, again, far older than me, because I know I have more yesterdays than tomorrows. But there are people older than me that think they have more tomorrows than yesterdays. And they're surprised, you know, somebody dies at 98 years old and people are wailing like it's a terrible thing. 98 years old? That's above the average. But you see, we're so without a spiritual life as a whole, Catholics as a whole, unfortunately, that death is a terrible thing, a fearful thing. You know, it's funny when you consider that Mary was the one who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to Him. And it was Martha that was the one that's doing all the working. Mary, because she's overwhelmed by death, does not go out to meet our Lord. She sits and mourns her dead brother. Martha goes out to meet the conqueror of sin and death. So Martha vindicates herself by going to meet our Lord, whereas Mary stayed behind because death overwhelmed her. So you can tell a lot about a person's faith by how they handle death. Yes, life is a gift from God. Yes, we're called to preserve our lives. We're definitely not called to be Circumcellions, that old heresy where people would try to become martyrs on purpose. And if they weren't martyrs, they would throw themselves off mountain cliffs to say that they were martyred. No, life is a gift. But sin is a consequence, has its consequences for us in death. Every single one of us will have our souls separated from our bodies. The soul is the animating principle that keeps the body alive. And we do not know the day nor the hour when that will happen. Sometimes we presume and act like we do. Sometimes we assume, I've got a whole life ahead of me, a young person might say, but they may not. The whole point then is to recognize first and foremost that all of us must die, whether we like it or not. If we accept that, then suddenly we start living life to the fullest. That is to say, we have a right relationship with God all the time, because we know we could die. And we don't want to be caught unawares. We don't want to be caught in a state of mortal sin. Contrary to popular myth, only that which is holy gets into heaven. And that's what being in a state of grace is all about. and you commit a mortal sin, you're not in a state of grace. You receive the Blessed Sacrament when you're in a state of mortal sin. It's a sin of sacrilege. If you haven't been to confession in over a year, you're committing the sin of sacrilege by receiving communion, because the church mandates in the six precepts of the church that you go to confession at least once a year. Breaking the precepts is a mortal sin, because the precepts include going to Mass on Sunday, holy days of obligation, observing the fasts of the church, observing the marriage laws of the church, and so forth. So these are a grave matter. And people who know that death could visit them when they're unaware are always ready by virtue of being in the right relationship with God. But it also means you'd be in the right relationship with your own loved ones if you're aware that you're going to die. Because then you would never take another person for granted. You'd realize that anytime somebody leaves your house, they may never come back. And this doesn't mean that you live a life of paranoia and fear as the anxious who have no faith. But it simply means you entrust those people to God. But by the same token, you're aware, never take them for granted. Because you don't know the day nor the hour, as Jesus said, when your time is come. God knows when each and every one of us is going to die. We don't. And we all have this idealized vision, perhaps, of how we're going to die, but it may not be so. Living in a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others is the key. Not sinning, not taking for granted, and not simply living a materialist life, but taking care of your soul and the souls of those you love. So indeed, if one is mindful of death, one lives life more fully, more robustly, more deliberately, versus those who think they're going to live forever and they squander the time away in nothingness, or worse yet, in sin. It doesn't have to be this way. God has graced us with the reality of His Son's victory over sin and death. So the way you live your life testifies to what you believe. Our Lord said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who comes to me, though he die, will live again, and he will live forever." By the way you live your Catholic life, can you say honestly, yes, when Jesus asks you, do you believe this? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
One God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven.